Let's open up our Bibles to the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I'll read it again. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And then just turn backwards a little to Ephesians. Read two verses together. Ephesians, also chapter 1. In the Chapel Bible, this will be on page 196, where the book of Ephesians begins. And we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Actually, we can notice that in verse 16, the Apostle Paul, who is writing this letter, he says that he's praying for those to whom he's writing. And this is part of his prayer, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. One of the bestsellers, I think, probably, at Christmas time, really was being pushed by a lot of these big media companies, buy an Amazon Echo, right? Or buy one of these other home assistants. And there's all kinds of different options, two or three big ones, and this is getting to be quite popular. I saw somebody say, well, now it's in his car, and you can ask Alexa for some advice. So whether it's Google or Amazon or whatever the helper is, they have a name. He said, well, what if your daughter's name is Alexa? What do you do? Because if you ask Alexa to go, you know, get the groceries out of the car, Alexa the car will say, I'm sorry, I don't know how to do that. But these are getting very common, and one of the attractive features is just this idea that you can ask for information. But it seems quite evident that there's a great resource and yet a great limitation. Because if you're asking, you know, is there traffic up ahead? That's perfect. If you're asking, what is the average annual rainfall in the Amazon River Basin? That's perfect. You probably could find that out too. But if you say, should I take this job or that job? Silence. There's not going to be any helpful information. You can get a lot of facts, but we've read two verses today. About something that's much deeper, much more significant than facts, and that is wisdom. And we've considered a little bit in past messages, past passages of the scriptures, how there are various aspects of spiritual growth for the believer. And we've talked about growing in faith, and growing in love, and growing in strength, growing in knowledge, so that we can understand what the scriptures are teaching us. Growing in endurance, because life is hard. This is another aspect, and as we are told in James chapter 1, we are told that we should recognize when we need more faith. We don't really have a phrase in the scriptures that says we should be growing in wisdom. Sorry, I just said faith, but what I meant was wisdom. We should recognize when we don't have enough wisdom, and we should seek to have more. And so we'll use that passage in James chapter 1 as the reason this is a relevant aspect of spiritual growth. Because we should recognize that there's a need for wisdom. And put next to that, the verse we read here in Ephesians chapter 1, that the Apostle Paul was praying for other Christians that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So in James chapter 1, it's really a nice two-pronged prayer. One is we are praying for ourselves in James chapter 1. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And according to James 1 verse 5, this is a prayer that God always answers in the affirmative. There are some prayers we wonder, does God want me to have this or not? James 1 5 says that when we ask God for wisdom, he always wants to give it to us. This is an area of spiritual growth that he loves to help us develop in. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, this is a wonderful thing for us to pray for one another, to think in our mind's eye in our times of prayer, to think of believers that we know, to think of those of us gathered here in this room this morning. I'm going to pray for this one, that God will give this one the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. I'm going to pray for the next one. Pray for that family. Pray for those children. Pray for those older ones. Pray for those who are looking for life decisions, those who have life struggles. Pray that they'll have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's what God wants us to pray ourselves, and it's what we should pray. It's an aspect of what we should pray for one another. Now, I started thinking about this, and I thought to myself, well, I hope I can find enough verses to make a whole message about this. We might have to combine it with a couple other thoughts, and we'll see if there's enough to say about wisdom. So I started doing a little studying, and now I hope that there's, hope we'll finish in four messages. No, I think we probably could go many, many times in all the aspects of wisdom. We could talk about this a long time. But what I would like to consider today is, why is it that we should want to grow in wisdom? And then on another occasion, perhaps the Lord will help us to consider how it is that we should grow in wisdom. But I think the why is more important than the how. Because if we understand why we should grow in wisdom, then it will be important to us. We will recognize that this is an important aspect of spiritual growth. And we'll pick up some principles along the way and then emphasize, especially next time, how it is that growth takes place in wisdom. So we're going to turn all the way back to the Old Testament now for Proverbs, which of course is perhaps the book that comes to mind regarding wisdom. We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. In the Chapel Bible, you'll turn back towards the middle of the book where the numbering system is different for the Old Testament, and we're going to be reading on page 590 if you're reading in the Chapel Bible. I have six little suggestions about why it is that we should desire to grow in wisdom, grow spiritually in wisdom. So we'll start reading in Proverbs chapter 1. I'll just read a couple of verses. And we have this book introduced to us in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. These first six verses are kind of like the preamble to the book of Proverbs. Solomon begins his collected sayings by saying, here's why I'm writing. I'm writing so that people who read will know wisdom and instruction. So that, in verse 5, the wise will hear and will become wiser. So that people will understand proverbs and riddles and the words of the wise. And then verse 7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. And we have this term about knowledge in verse 7. And we have a little later in the book of Proverbs, the line that often is said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's both, the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge is Alexa, right? Knowledge is facts and information. Now, we said earlier that spiritually we should also grow in knowledge. The writer to the Hebrews said, I'd like to talk to you about some of these things, but you haven't grown enough in knowledge. I'm going to talk to you about Melchizedek, but you're hardly able to understand anything that I'm saying. You should be a little more advanced in your knowledge of the scriptures. You should know a little bit more about God's teachings, and we should grow in knowledge. But if we only grow in knowledge, then we don't know how to use our knowledge. Just like Alexa knows a lot of facts, but can't help us make decisions. She can only tell us, take Route 80 instead of Route 46 or something like that. But she can't tell us, the life decisions, the things that we need to analyze for life itself. And so Solomon is writing to explain this information. The book of Proverbs is designed to provide wisdom, and we will see then in verse 33, look all the way at the end, verse 33 of this same chapter. Here, wisdom is speaking. Actually, if you just scan your eyes back to verse 20 of chapter 1, we can see wisdom is calling aloud outside. There are three times in the book of Proverbs where wisdom is kind of personified as this woman. Here in chapter 1, then again in chapter 8, and a third time in chapter 9. And we find out that wisdom is not hidden. Wisdom is not playing hard to get. Wisdom is available. Wisdom is out there in the streets, in the city square, and calling out to the simple. How long will you love simplicity in verse 22? How long will the fools hate knowledge? I'm right here. Come and seek wisdom. In chapter 8 especially, we find that there's sort of a divergence from wisdom's invitation to find that wisdom is eternal. And we actually see some echoes and some pictures of the Lord Jesus himself as that eternal one. But really, the first context of chapter 8 is wisdom is calling out. But when we see how wisdom is right there, it's Christ Jesus who is made to us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, as we're told in the New Testament. Verse 33 in this chapter says, "Whoever listens to me," that's wisdom speaking, "will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." Why should we seek to grow in wisdom? It's because it will help us persevere. It will help us, it'll help us be preserving our own well-being. We'll be kept from the things, the enticing sinners, like in verse 10 of this chapter, where Solomon says to his son, there's going to be some attractive offers. They're going to be asking you to come along, but they're sinners. Don't consent. They're going to be sounding very interesting with all kinds of opportunities, but they're sinners. Don't consent. Wisdom will help us persevere in the path of righteousness. It'll preserve us from trouble. It's one of the themes of chapter 2 a little later. It preserves us from evil men. It preserves us from evil women. It preserves us by keeping our feet in the paths of righteousness. So one of the reasons we should desire to grow in wisdom is it will preserve us in our walk with the Lord. Stay in Proverbs for the second thought. It's in chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And we have just a little phrase here. Proverbs 19, verse 20. "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days." That you may be wise in your latter days. If we grow in wisdom, it will help us to end well. It will help us to end well. That is to say, there will be an upward progress, spiritually speaking. There will always be further progress instead of regression. There probably are few things sadder than someone who has not matured with wisdom. Someone who behaves in a silly, untoward way. That somebody who just doesn't know how to fit themselves into the situation. This is very incapable of putting people at ease. They, it's still all about them. There are middle-aged people like this who every time you start telling a story, suddenly it's a story about them. Oh yeah, I have a story like that, and now the conversation, there it is, it's them again, right? And things like this. Wisdom will preserve us from that. If we grow in wisdom, it will help us to end well. And certainly, we would like to be those who not only are pleasing the Lord now, but we would like to be those who please the Lord from now onward. Nobody imagines, I'm pleasing the Lord now, but in about 20 years, I'm probably going to stop and I'm going to live for myself. But if we don't grow in wisdom, that will happen. Because we have more opportunities. The older we grow, we have more opportunities. We have more reasons to be selfish. We have more resources to be selfish with. We have more ways in which to cover up our tracks. We have more opportunities to hide what we're trying to do. And if we don't grow in wisdom, we will not end well. But if we do grow in wisdom, we'll be wise in our latter days. And this gives us a little insight also, just on the side, about the fact that wisdom does derive, in part, from our experiences. It will be wise in our latter days because we have to grow in wisdom. Now, we read in Ephesians 1 that spiritual wisdom is from God. We read in James chapter 1 that God gives the wisdom. And so we are not merely talking about the fact that experiences provide wisdom, naturally speaking. We're talking about wisdom that God himself provides. Insights, understanding, correct discernment and assessment of what's going on around us. It does come, however, though it is a gift from God, it does come through experiences. We will be wise in our latter days. So wisdom will preserve us. Wisdom will help us to end well. Now we're going to turn to the New Testament again, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. Why is it that we should grow in wisdom? We want to be preserved in the present time. We want to end well in the future time. 1 Corinthians 10 has another thought for us. Back in the New Testament numbering on page 176. And in 1 Corinthians 10, just a reference here, verse 15. Of course, it's in the middle of a very important context of explaining what had happened to the people of God in the past. And now Paul is deriving lessons from that. But he says to them in verse 15, "I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say." Verse 14, he had told them, "Flee from idolatry." And the previous 13 verses were about the failures of those who had the word of God and ignored it, despised it, turned away from it. So he's telling these Corinthian Christians, "Flee from idolatry." And he says to them, "I'm speaking to wise men." But he says, "I speak as to wise men," which is actually, reveals to us his thought. He says, "I'm talking with the assumption that you're wise. I speak as to wise men. I'm assuming that you are going to apply spiritual wisdom to what I've just taught you in this chapter. Then you can judge for yourselves what I say. I speak as to wise men." He has to say that because there were many Corinthian Christians who were not very wise. They were not applying godly wisdom to their circumstances. You read through the whole book and you see all the struggles that they were going through. And although we know from the book of Acts that some of those struggles were external, the city where they lived was filled with immorality and idolatry. There are many challenges to live as a Christian in Corinth. Yet still, many of their problems were of their own making. They were very self-willed. They were very proud. They were arrogant. And he says to them here, "I'm speaking as if to wise men, but if you're not wise, you won't be able to understand." So we want to grow in wisdom because it will help us assess the meaning of the scriptures. If we don't grow in wisdom, we will know a lot of facts, but we will not be able to apply those facts. Imagine if they weren't wise and they just hear this interesting story about Old Testament times and their failures. Yeah, that's terrible. Boy, they sure were not very faithful people. No, there's a message there. Paul says, there's a message there. And I'm telling you, there's a message for you. And we don't want to read the scriptures as if they are just interesting stories. Of course, they are powerful stories. They are tremendous to learn from. Some of the most powerful literary allusions in English and American literature are to the scriptures. And there was a time where it was assumed that you could say the David and Goliath story, or you could talk about the time of the Great Flood, and people would understand the Bible references. It's not so much the case in our times, where people understand biblical allusions and references. But if we only know them as literature, if we only know them as facts and interesting illustrations, we're going to miss what God really wants for us. We want to grow in wisdom so that we can judge for ourselves what we read, so that we can understand what the scriptures really mean for us and to us. They are not all about us, but they are all for us. They are all intended for us to understand who God is and who we are. Let's turn to Acts chapter 6, just back a few pages now. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, so we're going backwards in the New Testament a little bit. Acts chapter 6. Why should we seek to grow in wisdom? We want to be preserved, we want to end well, and we want to be able to assess what the scriptures mean for us. Now in Acts chapter 6, we have a fourth thought, and as I told you, there are six, so I'm going to make sure we can get through all six, I think, this morning. Acts chapter 6 has this controversy that arose in the time of the early church, and there were some who were concerned about mistreatment based on ethnicity and background, that some were perhaps getting more financial support and some were getting less, and there was a need to make sure that this was done equitably so that it would not cause division or dissension among them. And so the 12 apostles, in verse 2, they talked to the rest of the Christians, and they said, in verse 3 to them, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, just drop down to verse 10, where one of those seven, named Stephen, he is speaking. He began to not only be involved in this distribution of funds, but also he began to speak the gospel of Christ. And so he's doing great wonders and signs in verse 8, and he's having great discussions in verse 9, and it says in verse 10, "They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke." Now, the point here is that the same qualifications in verse 10, preaching the gospel to crowds of people, discussing the reality of faith and the certainty of the message of Christ with doubters and disputers, that required great wisdom. It required the Spirit of God. But so did giving out money. And so the point here is that if we're going to be serving the Lord, if we're going to do work for God, it requires wisdom. Why do we want to grow in wisdom? Well, if we want to be used by the Lord, if we want to be available to Him for some ongoing responsibility, it requires wisdom. The same qualifications for the what seems like just these ordinary things, distributing money, making sure that widows are cared for, that required wisdom and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And just as equally did were those the requirements for the effective work of Stephen when he was preaching. Now, it's true that sometimes God will use someone in their innocence, in their naivete, in their lack of knowledge. I'm thinking of the little servant girl, for example, in 2 Kings 5, when she's taken captive. She ends up in the house of Naaman, the Syrian general, and she says to her mistress, she says, "You know, I wish that he was in Israel. Then he would find out that there's someone there, the prophet Elisha, could help him." Did she have deep insight and wisdom? Was she going to give him great advice about life? Probably not. But she was going to be able to just be used in that moment because she had a good suggestion. She trusted God and she wanted someone else to trust him too. But what I'm thinking of here is ongoing responsibilities. Ongoing responsibilities require God's wisdom. The Lord Jesus himself, when he sent out the 12 in Matthew 10, we won't turn there, but in Matthew 10, he sends them out. He says, I'm sending you out. Actually, I think that's more like he sends out 70 more, whether it's the 12 or the 70, you can double check there. But in Matthew 10, he says, "I'm sending you out like sheep in the middle of a wolf pack. Therefore," he says, "be wise. Be wise as snakes. Be wise as serpents. Be harmless as doves. And be wise as snakes." And we hardly ever think of snakes being good examples. But the Lord Jesus there takes the subtlety and observational powers of a snake and says to the disciples, that's the kind of wisdom I want you to have. He's not referring to the symbolism of the serpent related to Satan. He's just talking about this one aspect of the literal animal, the snake, which is wise. It notices its prey. It notices the right time to strike. It doesn't call attention to itself. Be wise as serpents. To be useful to the Lord, we need wisdom. So it's another reason, if we are wondering why we should seek to grow in wisdom, this is another reason why. The last two are in the same chapter of the book of Romans. So let's turn now to Romans chapter 16, the next book after the book of Acts. Romans 16, and we'll look first at verse 19. He says to them here, your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And he starts this verse by saying, as we read, that it was known that they were obedient. These were Christians who were growing in their evidence of faith, their works of faith, their activity of Christian living. They were known for obeying the word of God, for doing what Christians should do. But then he says to them, in the midst of that obedience, I want you to be wise about what is good and be simple about what is evil. And so this is going to be enhancing their obedience. If we'd like to decorate, if I might say, or adorn our good deeds, it's done with wisdom. It enhances the value of what we do for the Lord. If we're wise concerning what is good and simple concerning what is evil, then our obedience is enhanced. It adorns the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things, like the reference says in Titus chapter 2. We are able to not just be checking off a bunch of good things, we are doing them with the beauty of wisdom. And why should we grow in wisdom? It's so that what we do for the Lord is done with all the beauty that it deserves to have. And then finally, still in the same chapter, it's the very last verse of this chapter. He says, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Or your translation might say, to God only wise. That doesn't mean that God is only wise, or that he is the only one who is wise, and that no one else has any wisdom. We're told that we should ask wisdom. But it means that if we compare all the wisdom that anyone else ever had, it's really only God that has wisdom and is the source of wisdom. There are three times in the New Testament where this phrase is used. It's here, and then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, to God who only is wise, to God the only wise one, and the end of Jude also, to God who is the only wise one, be praise and honor and glory. Why should we grow in wisdom? It's God's character. It's God's character. And so if we're going to live Christian lives, we don't want to just live habitually and traditionally just because we have heard some Christian things and we think they're attractive or we think they're proper. We want to live this way because it's God's character. God is wise. He is the only wise God. And if he has this character so distinctly his, then we would like to live out his ways. We would like to live in his wisdom. We would like to understand what he says about things so that we can assess things correctly. We'll find out on another occasion that there are plenty of, we might call them, flavors of wisdom. There's earthly wisdom. There's worldly wisdom. There's human wisdom. There's all kinds of wisdom that we can apply to the situation, which actually makes it more distracting because we can only buy one Alexa or one Siri or whatever, and they're all going to tell us the same thing. But imagine you go to the spiritual advice store And they've got a few different models of what you could buy for wisdom. You could buy man's wisdom, and it will always have an answer. You could buy earthly wisdom. You could buy worldly wisdom, and you could always get an answer from those sources of wisdom. But we want to seek the wisdom that is God, because it is God's character. So we want to grow in wisdom, because then we'll be useful to Him, and it will enhance all that we do, carrying the name of the Lord Jesus.